situation that has enveloped our beloved nation. Perhaps the subject before us this morning should be hurled forth more as an ultimatum than just a subject for casual consideration. In our casual, don't get excited, business as usual attitude, in our absorption with lesser things, I think we have failed to realize the tremendous, dangerous changes that have swept across American society. Changes that threaten to rend asunder the very moral and spiritual fabric upon which this nation was built. In its origin, certain of our founding fathers had in mind to establish a settlement to the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That was certainly what William Bradford and George Carver had in mind as they stood that day in the cabin of the Mayflower and affixed their signatures to the solemn document that was to establish the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. In a very real sense, it was their intent to establish a covenant nation, one that recognized its tremendous responsibilities and its dependence upon Almighty God. But what has happened? In 1931, Justice Sutherland of the United States Supreme Court, in a decision, spoke of the American people as a Christian people. In 1952, Justice William O. Douglas of the U.S. Supreme Court, in another decision, spoke of the American people as a religious people. In a matter of 21 years, from a Christian people to a religious people. But now we stand in great danger of not even having ourselves called a religious people. The decision of the United States Supreme Court in disallowing the New York Regent's prayer was but indicative of the direction in which we've been going. Increasingly, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been interpreted as freedom from religion rather than freedom of religion. And the day is not far off when Almighty God, by law, is going to be excluded completely from American public life. By law, God will soon be out of the picture altogether. Now add to this the grip of secularism, which holds a vast proportion of American society in its grip today. The philosophy which either ignores or opposes the spiritual, which really says that all that is real, all that is important, is the material. As a consequence, there are untold millions of young people and children today who have no form of religious or spiritual instruction at all. And the figures grow at a tremendous proportion every year. Consider also what has happened to our standard of values. Where are we placing the price tags today? Today we pay home mission pastors, for example, between $8,000 and $10,000 a year, while at the same time we give contracts amounting into the hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars, to professional athletes. Now everyone likes to see a man hit a home run, or make a touchdown, or dunk a basket. We're not against sports. But we have arrived in a place in the United States where we have revealed it's far more important to be entertained than it is to provide spiritual training and education for our young people and our children. We pay TV comedians millions of dollars to dispense their immorality, while we pay high school teachers a few thousand dollars. Are we saying that it's more important to make people laugh than it is to educate and prepare children and young people for life and for eternity? Remember, we're talking about trends. We're talking about values, the direction in which we're going. A few years ago, our national liquor bill amounted to $60 per year for every man, woman, and child in the United States. That was 8 times greater than the expenditure for all religious purposes. That was 5 times more than the expenditure for all religious purposes and all private charity. That was 4 times greater than we spent on all education. Today, our national liquor bill comes to $175 per year for every man, woman, and child in the United States. In 1940, we had 2,400,000 alcoholics. In 1976, we had 10 million. The estimated sales of all alcoholic beverages in 1934 was $2.3 billion. In 1975, get this, $35 billion. 50 million Americans' lives are affected adversely by drinking relatives or friends. We spend $500 million every year in the United States and by state governments to combat alcoholism. $25 billion annually is the economic drain due to alcoholism. In 1940, it was less than $500 million. Now, my friends, all we're talking about this morning are trends, values. In what direction are we going? And on we could go. But all to point up this one fact. If your child is to have any religious or moral training, it's going to have to take place either in the church or in the home. And the preponderance of it is going to have to take place in the home. Because it's estimated that the average child only has about 25 hours of actual training in the church during a year. Now, having said all this, immediately my attention is drawn to a statement of an educational authority who said recently, "The American has boundless faith in the new generation over the horizon and is willing to make almost any sacrifice for it except those required by self-restraint." And because we're a society that is becoming more and more a people of less and less self-restraint, the easy way out for spiritual training is to simply say, let them choose their own when they grow up. According to this, it's better to not shackle any child with any religious or spiritual training so that when he becomes an adult, he can choose for himself. But as Dr. Robert McCracken has said, the parent whose attitude is let him decide for himself will find that when the child is grown up, no decision remains to be made for the reason it has already been made. And of course, the decision is in favor of godlessness and against God. For most influences outside of the home are secular. Therefore, the boy or the girl who is not given any spiritual or moral training in the home is going to have a constant exposure to irreligion. The world's not neutral, my friends. The world is against the Lord. And the church and the home are the last bastions of strength in American society. But I would remind you that your home is only a miniature of society. The U.S. spells us. And if spirituality and morality find no place in your home and in your training of your children, then you and I ought not to be surprised if the crime statistics amount higher and higher every year. Conversely, if we're going to prevent this downward trend to oblivion in the United States of America, then something has to begin to happen in our homes. What we give to our children or refuse to give to them in the way of spiritual training and guidance will determine the future of this blessed land called America. Consider for a moment the subject before us. Where will they go? Where will they go for spiritual guidance? Whose children? Your children. My children. I don't come over to your house and train your children. Neither do you come over to my house and train my children. We each, as parents, are responsible for our own children. They look to us, not to someone else. You realize that they're a precious trust from God. Children are a gift from the Lord. But someday the Lord is going to hold us accountable as parents for what we do or do not do with our children. He left us in no doubt about his concern about this. In his word he says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old he'll not depart from it. Bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God. And in the passage that Hal read a moment ago, the warning of our blessed Lord, that whosoever causeth one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung about his neck and be cast into the depths of the sea. Now they look to us for what? Well, they look to us for material possessions. Food, clothing, shelter, education. That's part of the responsibility. Preparation for 70 or 80 years of this life. Then what? Eternity. How wrong some parents are. But all they think they have to do is supply the things for their child's life of 70 or 80 years here upon this earth. And they provide them nothing in the way of preparation for eternity. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Asked Jesus. And what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What a tragedy if it is. If we send forth from our homes sons and daughters of whom all that can be said within his living frame, he bears a coffin soul. My friend, that's tragic. They look to us for spiritual guidance. That involves effort. That involves self-restraint. That involves sacrifice. And the living reality of Jesus Christ in our own lives. How do we guide them? We guide them by precept. They need to be fed daily on the Word of God. This means family devotion. This means Bible stories. This means a family devotional period every day. Isn't it true? We take great care to supply those young, healthy bodies with 3 square meals a day. But what do we give them in the way of spiritual food to prepare them for eternity? Jesus said, out of the heart proceed the issues of life. What are we supplying for the heart need? We guide them by prayer. The Bible says that old Job prayed for his sons and daughters every day. We need the resource of prayer for strength and for guidance as we raise up our children. We teach them to be sociable. We teach them to be scintillating conversationalists. Have we taught them how to talk to God? We guide them by precept. We guide them by prayer. We guide them by personal demonstration. By example. They're watching us. What kind of lessons are they learning? My dear friend, don't you dare tell them that God is important when you sleep in on Sunday morning. And don't you dare tell them that the Bible and Sunday school and church are important when you send them, but never take them. If it's real to you and real to me, it'll be attractive to them. Parents who are trying by God's enabling to bring up their sons and daughters in the nurture and admonition of the Lord have the greatest responsibility but the greatest joy in all earth. We've talked before of John Patton, the pioneer missionary to the South Seas, who as a lad was brought up in a humble cottage in Dumfries, Scotland. But throughout his lifetime, John Patton could never forget the example of his father. And he wrote these words, though everything else in religion were by some unthinkable catastrophe to be swept out of memory or blotted from my understanding, my soul would wander back to those early scenes and shut itself up again in that sanctuary closet. And hearing still the echoes of those cries to God, would hurl back all doubt with a victorious appeal. My father walked with God. Why may not I? What your sons and daughters going to remember about you? My father walked with God. My mother walked with God. Why may not I? Oh, my dear friends, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, church, prayers at meals, family devotions. These are not trivial things. They are essential for making our families and our homes into the bulwark, the last vestige of hope in American life today. Your children are looking at you. What do they see? What about the reality of Jesus Christ? Margaret Clarkson penned these words. Around our doors, the children play in innocence and carefree mirth, all heedless of the living way. They walk the winsome ways of earth. They know not of the deadly snare that lurks to lure their footsteps there.
Around his throne, God's children stand. His holy praise, their blessed employ. The wealth of grace at his right hand is theirs in unimagined joy. One glorious name their glad hearts sing. Jesus, their Savior, Lord, and King. Around our doors, the children fall, not knowing of that holy name. They have not heard, how shall they call on him who saves from sin and shame? Around our doors, they pass from sight into the black of endless night. We who worship in this place, for Christ is known and Christ adored, who have not told that name of grace, nor sought these children for the Lord, how shall we stand before his throne? How see his face redeemed alone? Savior, awake us from our sleep to seek thy children while we may. Fire us with faithfulness to keep thy last command till in that day, redeemed, rejoicing, we shall come, bearing thy ransomed children home. God is looking at you and he's looking at me to see the reality of Jesus Christ. Do our children see? Now, everything in the passage of Scripture that we have before us this morning seems to run counter to that which we have labeled important in American society. You see the issue here in the apostles at this particular point. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were all wrong in their value judgments. Those of you who were present last Sunday evening to see the James Dobson film on preparing children for adolescence, his talk about value judgment. What do we place before our children as the most important things of life? As Jim Dobson said, we pile before them to be the most beautiful, to be the most intelligent, to be the wealthiest. These are the important things of life. And then we wonder why our children crack up when they can't measure up. What do we push before our children, my American friend, as the most important values of life? To lord it over others? Coarse selfishness? Worldly ambition? Let's be honest this morning. You ask yourself, I'll ask myself. How much of our emphasis and our activity right here in Montgomery, Alabama is nothing but an ego trip? How much of what we place before our children as important is nothing but an ego trip? What did Jesus emphasize? Read this passage. Humility. Humble trustfulness. Jesus said the way up is first down. The way to ascend is to descend. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Completely contrary to what we emphasize today. The second great truth to take out of this passage, the seriousness of leading these little ones astray, causing the little ones to sin by placing in their pathways beguiling allurements, enticements to go wrong. Not long ago, Dr. Charlie Shedd, in a column in the New Miami News, wrote this. Their teenage son had been in an accident. He wasn't hurt, but his girlfriend was. Seriously. And what made it a really bad scene was that the boy was given a ticket for driving under the influence. He'd had too much to drink, and the patrolman called his father. Now, this dad is cool, definite. He gets to the bottom of things. And that's what he determined to do when he got his boy home. The thing he wanted to know was, who sold the liquor to his teenager? The truth will usually come out if we keep pushing hard enough. And that's what this dad did. He wasn't ugly, just steady. Now, there are laws against the sale of alcoholic beverages to kids too young. As parents, we have the right to know who's breaking the law. So this dad kept on pressing, and the son kept on dodging, until he finally blurted it out. Okay, Dad, here's how it was. A bunch of us and our dates were having this party, and I told them I'd bring a bottle. I know where you hide the key to your liquor cabinet, so I took it, and I'm sorry. Does that get you right here? It sure does me. Are there things in my lifestyle that could backfire? And some of our Lord's most severe words were directed to those who had treated his little ones in this manner. And really what the original language means here, this despising, this contempt, is to think down on them. This was not Jesus' attitude. He said, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for of such are the kingdom of God. And my friends included, these are serious matters. I try to preach this sermon in love this morning. But these are serious matters. These are far more serious than we really realize. If God has given you a home, and that God has given unto you children. They are a sacred responsibility from the Lord. The Bible says they're a precious trust. And someday you and I will be accountable. Don't believe me, believe God. Believe the Word. The Bible says someday you and I will be accountable for what we do with our children. What a glorious, holy responsibility is ours as parents. But where will they look? Where will they look for spiritual guidance? They have to look to you. They have to look to me. And perhaps the most vital need that some of us parents have this morning is to repent. Perhaps the most vital need that some of us have this morning is to take inventory. What kind of an example am I setting before my children as to what is really important in life? And then to cry out to Almighty God in Jesus' name that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's enabling, I will begin to be the kind of a parent that the Lord wants me to be, so that that day will come when my own children will rise up and call me blessed. This is far more serious than you realize. The fabric of American society throughout its history has been the home and the family. It is being renovated. As we said last Sunday morning, there are many concerned Christians in America. We hold great rallies, and I'm not against the rallies. We make great pronouncements, and I'm not against the pronouncements. But, beloved, it gets right down to personal, individual faith. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their life. Where will they look? May we pray. Father, this has been a difficult sermon to preach. We have earnestly sought to present it in love, not all negativism. But Lord, we believe sincerely that it's time we woke up. Your word says, to whom much has been given, much will be required. And we bask in the freedom and the privileges that we have enjoyed as American people with our rich, glorious heritage. But Lord, we're about to go bankrupt. We've squandered it. We put the price tags on the wrong things. We have lived for things in this world that are here today and gone tomorrow. Well, your word says that the things that are seen are temporal, the things that are not seen are eternal. Father, America is in a tremendous crisis. We cry out to thee today that by your Spirit, you will bring revival to our hearts individually, revival to our families, to our homes, and revival to our nation. Grant it, our Father, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.